Good morning, this is Tuesday, June the something. Fog has lifted, skies are blue, the people are driving to work, and I'm about to climb a hill. Once again, every day. So, here we go. Today's initial thought as I climb this wonderful hill to the bus is that nature is your GM's friend. Nature has so much more going on in it than we give it credit for. And the nature of things has so much more going on. In a roleplay game, you always have to make something a little bit more extreme to present things to the players, even though it's not exactly correct. You've got to go movie style. What I would do to show your characters, show your players that nature has an effect, is have them in the early quest, they go off into the wilderness, they decide to set up camp. When they're setting up camp, they have to collect wood if they're going to light a fire. Just say, so are you guys lighting a fire? They say, yep. I say, okay, who's collecting wood? Okay, I am. Now, sometimes because of the fact you asked who's collecting wood, they might go, oh, hang on, let's go out in a group of two. And that's fine. So the idea is that you should have some sort of a, what do you call it, those big giant tulip-style monsters. Little Shop of Horror style. Or Ice Age 3 had one, or this kind of big bulbous head plant. Plants vs. Zombies has them as well. Your players go off into the forest. They're looking for wood. You make a perception check. If one of them has plant lore or forest lore or wilderness lore or things like that, or some sort of a associated skill, then maybe you point out that, you know, this find a fallen log, and there's a pretty flower. Oh, okay, a rare looking flower. Oh, okay, should we pick it? Yeah, why not? The minute they go to pick it, plant wakes up, grabs them. They start screaming. Plant attempts to swallow them. Now, the interesting thing is that a lot of these plants are portrayed weirdly. Ice Age did the best. You don't eat the creature. You don't eat them with teeth. Plants don't do that. Well, you could if you wanted to do a toothy monstered plant. But there's so much energy involved. A plant sits there until it eventually triggers. Mimosa pigra, for example, was a good plant to show this. Just it sits there, it triggers. Once it triggers, it uses energy. If the energy works appropriately, then it saves energy. If it doesn't, it uses up too much energy and it dies. So it has to use the energy appropriately. So this plant would swallow up a person, fill it up with acidic juices, and be nigh on impossible to escape. The person, the individual, surrounded by acid, they're tightly wrapped, so they can't access their weapons, their arms. They've got a grapple. Maybe you have to do a grapple attack to attack them. But now, once you've got them, maybe your other players are going to notice this, and they're going to go, hear the screams and come to the rescue, kill the plant. Simple encounter, earn some basic XP, and there you go. That's part one of my story. Now's the fun part. Your plant monster has just been killed. The heroes are happy that they've killed a creature. Now, this is an early adventure kind of scenario. Plant creature would have been fairly easy to
tag down. You don't need to buff its stats or anything. If it's a group of mid-level adventurers and you want to give them a challenge, maybe actually give it teeth or something like that. But the idea here is not to make the plant a challenge, it's to make the plant a non-moving, fairly easy to take down if it ranged. But you want them to get pissed at the plant. You want the player who gets swallowed by the plant to get pissed at the plant. He wants revenge. Or you want the players to see that the flower, that the or the thing that causes them to step close to it, to be something rare. So they go, oh, these plants are easy to kill now that we know what they look like. Maybe point out that they had seen a couple of these similar plants on the way. And so this forest seems to have quite a few more of these plants in it. And so if they keep their eyes out, they may notice it. Have them encounter two or three more of the plants, five or six. When they arrive at a following town, if they're wearing one in their lapel, or if they've got something they're openly showing that they have, or they inquire about its worth at some sort of apothecary, make it valuable enough that the players might even go back into the forest for some easy kills and some easy cash, and then they can return to the forest two or three times and take down a few of these particular plants. That's the issue here, is have them do enough ecological damage to the life cycle. The why did I forget the word? The thing where all the creatures, one creature eats another creature, circle of life, that kind of. So your heroes have destroyed a certain number of these plants, and these plants were eating certain other creatures. Players go away for on some adventure, some quest. They come back, townsfolk are complaining. Oh, these things are coming out of the forest. These giant rats, or these little goblin sprites, or these malicious fairies, or they're coming out of the forest. Can you go deal with them? The players are like, oh, okay, fine. So they've got to now go deal with the fairies in the forest. And I don't know if it's something you'd want to do specifically. I would probably, well, my encounter charts allow for the rolling of two creatures and the idea that if they've got predisposed, like evil versus good or plant versus zombie, then they're going to fight, and the characters are going to see this and go, ah, oh, okay, put two and two together and get seven. The point here is, though, that whatever this malicious monster that's coming out of the forest attacking the village were previously being eaten by the plants. And your heroes have now understood that their actions cause repercussions in the future. Now, why do you do this? You do this early in some of your games so that your players understand that repercussions will cause events. They don't know that the events are going to be happening. They don't know why the events are going to be happening, because they're not always the people who cause them. But if your players realize that they are the ones who cause the events from time to time, and they're not necessarily the people to solve the events. You could also, if these, let's say for example this problem was a bunch of rats, and the rats were coming out of the forest, the plants used to be eating the rats, and then have another group of low-level heroes also going out and taking on the rats, so that your players realize that some of the events that they have, that they cause, might be taken care of by other players. And some of the events that are caused by other players, that Sorry for the pause. I'm actually traffic. Someone almost had an accident. The events that are external to the players, have nothing to do with the players, are being caused by other players. Other characters, I should say. And those characters causing those events trigger other events which then the players take care of. And the whole point to this is because you're giving rhyme and reason to each of the events as they take place. You're giving the characters, you're giving your players a set of understanding about your world so that when you introduce something, oh, this troll starts attacking the village. Why? Where did this troll come from? Why is this troll attacking? Well, someone's done something to cause this troll. Do the players want to look into that? It's easier as Games Master to follow on from the reactions of your players to find the next quest rather than having to constantly sort out all the possible quests that are happening and then resolve the ones your players are doing. If you're a Games Master like me and you need to do that, then that's fine. You can do it. You can draw out a list of all possible triggered events and how they each of them trigger each other and what NPCs are going around doing and what other tasks, so that you can see the causation event chart. But from a player's perspective, half of these things are never resolved. And you can make it up. You can say, the troll was coming out of the forest because he was chasing the rats. That was his meal. The rats were scared to go past the plants, so they kept having to stay in the same area. The troll would catch them eating. But then when the rats found that there was no plants to block them and they came out of the forest, well, the troll lost his meal ticket, so he started chasing after them. Or something. It's not too hard to logically take step A to B to C to D. It's just players aren't going to see B and C along the way. They might know about A, and they might know about D. Just as long as you've got a general broad idea in your head about what B and C are, in case the players themselves get agitated that they don't know what's going on, you can always say to them out of game, well, you know, this caused this, and then that caused that, and then the players will be happy enough to go, oh, okay, cool. Anyway, that's it for today's session about nature and causality.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.